I'm an old man now, I can't do nothing. Young folks don't pay me no mind. But in my day, I sure was something. Before I felt the heavy hand of time. I'm an old man now, bound for glory. Time to lay these burdens down. Had enough of this old world worry. Gonna trade my troubles for the crown. West where the sun sets, where rainbows never die.
I don't know why, but one of my boys posted this song on Facebook this past week, and my wife said, this is what it's all about. When we talk about carrying the cross, you know, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. And when you think about the cross of the golden years, I think that song just pictures it so well. So I'd invite you to, if you have your Bibles, to turn to page 671, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And if you have your Bible on a phone or a tablet, I'd invite you to open that up as well. While you're turning there, I would just like to play a little bit of Jenga. You know, it takes you a little bit of time to get there. You know, when you play Jenga, the idea is to find the non-essential blocks, right? So if you can find a block that's non-essential, it's easy to just pull out and put it on the top. You know, you're just looking for blocks that are just not essential to the building, and you just keep on going. And it's a great time as long as you're pulling out non-essential blocks. But every once in a while, you get to the point where you can't pull out a block that is non-essential anymore. So, what do you think? Do you think this one's essential? Essential means it has to be there, otherwise it's going to fall apart. You think it's going to fall apart if I pull out this one? You think? That was an essential block in that stack. It's this whole idea of what's essential and non-essential that really is brought home to us by Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You know, as you think about that song that we just heard and some of the pictures of this man you may have picked up on, this was a funeral video slide presentation. You know, who is stronger? Is it this man who is ready to go off to war, or this old man right here? The obvious answer would be that the stronger man is the younger man, right? But what I want us to think about today as really the strongest man is the one on the right. That true strength is not physical strength, but true strength is recognizing what are the non-essentials and what are the essentials to life. So I'd like to read through Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, and then we'll just kind of talk about it a little bit. Solomon wrote this about 1,000 years before the time of Christ. He said, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them,' before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. When the keep..." Do you hear anything? Oh, I'm sorry. My alarm went off. I'm sorry. All right. Where was I? Let's start at verse 3. "When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of fading grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him, remember your Creator, before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless." Wow, what a great lesson, huh? I can't wait to dig into this. As Solomon, as an old man, looks back at his life, he talks about some of the things that you and I would naturally think of as essential. Kind of like some of these blocks that we would say, these are essential, these are really important. When we are young, or when we are in the middle times that we've looked at over the last few weeks, then things like your eyesight, boy, that's essential. But Solomon says, you know, there's going to be a day when the stars grow dark. You won't be able to see anymore. Or when the strong men stoop and your back is curved and your legs don't work anymore. You know, strong back, that's essential. No, it's not. There's an awful lot of people who don't have a strong back and who can't walk anymore. The grinders cease. Teeth are essential, right? That's what I thought until my dad, about 85 years old, introduced himself to my future daughter-in-law and said, "I have 2 teeth left. I think that's pretty good for 85. Who needs teeth? They're not essential, even though we would think they are. The sound fades, sound of grinding fades. You can't hear very well. And the birds are singing. You rise at the sound of the birds, but you can't hear them. You know, when you get older, you sleep is absolutely essential. And those of you who are in the golden years, many of you are going, I wish I could sleep more, but I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm wide awake. Afraid of heights and of people in the streets. You know, my dad was fearless when he was young. My dad told me stories of how he was the rafter sitter on our barn in 1933, and nothing scared him. He would drive through storms and blizzards, but man, when he got older, you know, it was raining outside, and he'd say, "Maybe you shouldn't drive home right now, you know? What happens?" You see, fearlessness as a youth in the middle years, oh, that's essential. No, it's not. For many of us, there's going to be a time when we don't have it anymore. The almond tree blossoms, I love that. The almond tree blossoms white. And the desire no longer is stirred. Now, there's different things you can desire, but I'm just going to go with hobbies. My mother-in-law illustrated that for me when she said it was time for her to move out of her house because the things that she had always enjoyed had just become work, keeping up the house. You know, these are the things that we would think, these are the essential parts of life. If you don't have things that you desire and you can't see and you can't walk and Solomon warns those of us who are in youth and in the middle years. There's my alarm again. Sorry about that. All right. Those of us who are in middle years, he warns us the things that we think of are essential. Not really. You see, true strength lies not in these physical things that Solomon talks about. True strength lies in understanding that the essentials are non-essential, and the non-essentials that we generally think of in life are really the essential thing. You know, when you have gone through life long enough, you will have pulled out some of the essential things a few times, and your life has been a disaster. And by God's grace, you're able to put things back together. And gradually through experience, you learn, oh yeah, there are some essential things. They are not how I look, how I feel, what I can do. Those are not essential. What's essential is really that I have this relationship with my Savior. What is essential is that I, who have sinned against God in so many ways, know that He has forgiven me. That when Jesus died on the cross, He died for me. And that each one of us can say, He died for me. What's essential is that you know, no matter what happens, whether it's a hurricane that strikes you or some other disaster, that God is your God. He is on your side. And even though there is this disaster in your life, He is still your God because He loves you with an unconditional love. And that God's will becomes your will. That the idea of living for God is no longer something that comes from outside of us. You know, our parents telling us this is what you have to do, but God works in us and creates in us a desire to do what His will is. And that our ultimate goal is to acknowledge God in all that we do. I used an outline for that. Anybody pick up on it? It's from Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 is the place in the Old Testament that talks about the New Testament or the New Covenant. Jesus in the Lord's Supper gave His disciples this cup of wine and said, "This is my blood of the New Covenant or of the New Testament." And that New Testament is recorded in Jeremiah 31. This is the covenant. This is the testament. This is the promise I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. God's going to make His will just a part of us. I will be their God and they will be my people. You and I can always walk through life knowing God is on our side. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," or "Acknowledge the Lord in what you do." Because they will all acknowledge me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And see, here's the foundation promise in the Lord's Supper. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. As we wrap up this whole idea of the golden years and the cross that you have to carry in the golden years. It's my prayer that as we walk along with our fellow Christians who are in the golden years, and for those of us who are in or near those golden years and things aren't working as well as we can as they used to, that we remember what the non-essentials are and say, you know what, it's okay if God in his wisdom takes some of these things away from me. What's really essential is what God gives me in this new covenant. What's really essential is this relationship with my Savior. What's really essential is that I'm here weekly in worship, because I need to be reminded of this relationship, because this is the only thing that's going to last. All of these things that I spend so much time and love about what I can do and how I look, they're all going to pass away. Sorry. Alarm again. All right. They're all going to pass away. And so I need that relationship with my Savior, and that's why the world around us would say, weekly worship, that's not really that essential. But our fellow Christians who are in the golden years would say, that's really what it's all about. That's the essential. That we worship our Savior, that we receive Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper. You know, this morning at the beginning of the worship, most of you weren't here for the beginning of the worship. You see, our worship actually begins half an hour before our public worship service when we gather together for the Lord's Supper. We start with confession of sins, and then we receive Jesus' body and blood. This is the essential thing. If you're a part of our family of believers already, I'd encourage you just make that part of your pattern. I got to be here every weekend because I got to be here half an hour early before the public service for this family meal that we gather together and celebrate, because Jesus wants to give me his body and blood there to assure me of this new covenant. And if you're not part of our family yet, mark on the back of the connection card that you're interested in. I'd love to reach out to you and just talk about how to become a part of our family and enjoy this family meal that Jesus has given us. Daily devotion, we talked about that last week. You know, we're too busy in the middle, and in youth, we don't think about it. But thanks be to God, our fellow Christians in the golden years can tell us that that's the most important and the best part of the day, because that builds this relationship with the Savior that will last forever. And finally, that you have an eternal vision. That's what this song, some of the songs that we just sang, I don't think it was the Thy Will Be Done, it was the one just before that, that there is no pain and trouble in this world that heaven can't heal, that you and I have this vision for eternity. See, the cross of the golden years is God emphasizing over and over again, these are the non-essentials, so that you hold on to the essentials and that you have this heavenly, eternal vision. Now, this vision would seem to be meaningless. As I was walking around, I was working on my sermon, I walked around in our cemetery, and I came across this family. You can see it's right next to the old church. It's the Kelsey family. There is mom in the middle, dad, and daughter. Solomon says, remember your Creator before death happens, before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken. Now, look at this. This is their daughter. You see the dates? She lived 2 days. Remember him before the pitcher is shattered and at the spring or the wheel broken at the well. All your hopes and dreams are destroyed. Remember him before you die and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. This is the husband. He died on December 21st, 6 days before his 52nd birthday. And this is the mom. She lived for 34 years as a widow. She probably was a widow. I know she was a widow longer than she was married. And maybe that little girl, Gertrude, was the only child. Because when mom died, you can see no date is given, just the year. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. This is what Solomon says. Everything is meaningless. You see, when you look at life under the sun, apart from a relationship with Jesus, there is no meaning in life. Who even remembers Elvina Kelsey? They didn't even remember the day that she died. That's what it would look like. But the reality, there's more to this story. I've only shown you the top parts of the gravestones. Here's the rest of the story. Here is the vision above the sun. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your mind, your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Since set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ was your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. You see, under the sun, life has no meaning. You live, you die, you lose everything one way or the other. But you and I have a vision above the sun. If we set our hearts on a relationship with the Savior that will never end, if we set our hearts and our minds on Christ who's seated at the right hand of God, then in a sense we've already died. This world is not that important, and we know that we have an eternal life stored up with our Savior. And when he comes back, we're going to see how meaningful our lives truly are, how precious every one of us is. That's an eternal vision that is not meaningless. You see, this is the rest of the story. Here's Gertrude's gravestone. You see the last line? How can somebody write on there, when a little girl dies at 2 days old, God is love? I think somebody understood what the essentials were. And they had an eternal vision. Or her husband. Maybe you can't read it at the bottom. Just 15 years later, her husband dies. Not quite 52 years old. Asleep in Jesus. And what about Elvina? After living for 34 years as a widow, praise ye the Lord. I think Elvina knew the essentials. Life under the sun, apart from a relationship with the Savior, is meaningless. All the things that we treasure, they are all going to be gone. But if we have a relationship with the Savior, we have a vision that lasts for eternity. And in spite of everything that happens to us, praise ye the Lord. You know, this is supposed to be the message for those of us who are in or approaching the golden years. Yes, we have to take up the cross in the golden years. But it's really a message for everyone who hasn't reached those golden years yet. It's the message, look at those who are gone before you and remember your Creator now. Learn from those who have gone before you so that you understand what are the essentials. Now, you may have wondered why my alarm went off 3 times. Of course, it's part of the shtick. The elderly can feel invisible, with no purpose in life. The reality is, they are God's alarm to every one of us. To recognize the meaninglessness of this life apart from Christ and to focus on the essentials. A couple of weeks ago, I saw Paul Kuntz on a mile marker at our last Awaken Alive presentation for our 18 to 25 year old generation. And I just thought it was so fitting to encourage those of you who are in the golden years that you have an incredible purpose here on life. You are our alarms to tell us, be ready. And for those of us who are younger, to cherish them, to notice them, to appreciate them. Let's watch the mile marker.
Samuel Clemens said, "When I was 18, my father was the dumbest person I had ever met. I never met anybody that was as stupid as he was. But by the time I was 21, it's amazing how much that man had learned." You know what? It's okay. But think about it a minute. Mm-hmm. Who learned in those 3 years? When you're 10, 12, 15, 18? You know, there's lots of time to believe in Jesus or whatever I feel like believing in someday. Mm-hmm. But you don't know. This might be your last day. I think it's so important to maintain your faith, to place your trust in the Lord. He's there for you. He'll always be there for you. Things will happen that you feel, well, if there was a loving God, he wouldn't let this happen to me. And we don't know the reasons for a lot of the problems that come into our lives. Some are from our own problems that we've caused ourselves by our sinful nature. Other things are things that happen that we feel we have no control over, and we probably don't. But in the total overall picture, the Lord is in control. And everything will work out the best as he promises. All of his promises are good. And so hang on to those promises, cherish them, and you will find that when you get to be as old as I am, God willing, that those promises will come back and be a comfort to you every time you think of them. And every problem that comes your way, think about how the Lord has brought you this far and how he will continue to hold you in his hand until he calls you home.
Until he calls us home. God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us into a relationship with your Son, that we have the hope, an eternal vision, that we are but strangers here, that heaven is our home. We're reminded, Lord, of how we were dead in our sins, and you made us alive. Your faithfulness, Lord, on so many times we've run away and done our thing, insisting that there was essential when all it was doing was driving us away from our one true love, you. Lord, you patiently called. And you continue to call to us. And the Holy Spirit works in us a heart of repentance, one that turns to our Father and says, I don't deserve any of this. And in your mercy, Lord, with our hearts and our faces downcast, you ask us to look up into the eyes, into the face of a Father who loves us. It says, get up, do better, my son. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the God for us in our younger years. So much of life is before us, and yet we're so ignorant to how things really work. We thank you that you are the God of faithfulness, walking alongside us and constantly sending people to remind us what is important. Lord, thank you for being the God in the middle years, when all we're really wanting is a little bit of peace, and that we can find it in you. Thank you for being the God in our golden years. As we learn what it means to live life with just the essentials. Lord, for all of us here who are far from you, call us. Don't give up on us. Give us eternal vision. And for all of us, Lord, who are walking with you, open our eyes to see the shortness of our time on earth and to see the importance of the things that we do with the time in Jesus' name. Open our eyes of faith to the opportunities that are around us, Lord, and give us a heart of celebration, because you are a God who celebrates when one person is called home eternally. And you're a God who celebrates when one who's called into your presence. And it begins here today, putting our trust and our faith in you. Lord, open the eyes of our nation, our neighborhood, our church. Help us to see Jesus in all things, from the time we're born until the time you call us home. All God's people said,